Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 15. Can you believe we're at week 15 already of NFL Insights with Brennan? We have a large schedule to get to, including a lot of different games at different days and times than they were originally scheduled. But without further ado, we will turn it over to Brennan, who went 10-3 last week, to break down the first Saturday game of the season, which pits the 9-4 Patriots at the 7-6 Colts.
This should be a great game, and it's a very important one, too. Before the Chiefs beat the Chargers on Thursday, the Patriots were the top seed in their conference at 9-4. But the Chiefs are now 10-4, and if the Patriots win, they'll be 10-4 themselves. But I don't know who would be the number one seed if that happens. But the Patriots are a really good team. They've got a quarterback who's playing really well in Mac Jones. He's a rookie, but not really playing like one. He's been playing very well, and I think he's the definite offensive rookie of the year. And the Colts are pretty good, too. They've got, much like the Patriots, they've got a strong run game, a great offensive line, and talented defense. But the Patriots are the one with the better record, and Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest coach of all time. So I think I'm going to go with the Patriots here.
Sounds good. And I do believe that the Patriots would have the tiebreaker because their conference record is 7-1 versus the Chiefs 5-2.
Yeah, the Chiefs have lost a lot of AFC games, so I think that would give the Patriots the edge.
Okay, let's move to the Sunday games. We'll go with what looks to be a stinker on paper, but division games, you never know. The 9-4 Cowboys at the 4-9 Giants.
Yeah, it's just looking like a mismatch here. The Giants have been starting Mike Glennon at quarterback for weeks and not playing very good. I know the offensive line isn't all that great, and the wide receivers and tight ends have been in and out of the lineup, but yeah, just not playing well, and he's probably making Giants fans miss Daniel Jones, which I think is hard to believe based on how Daniel Jones has been throughout the first couple of years of his career. Cowboys just barely got away with a win last week. The defense is making plays. Micah Parsons is totally the defensive rookie of the year, and the offense is doing enough to win, but it's starting to slow down a little after a great start, but the Cowboys should score a lot against the Giants. They scored over 40 last time in the first meeting in Dallas, and the Giants keep losing players on defense for the year. They lost Jabril Peppers and Blake Martinez earlier in the year, and now it seems like they've lost Leonard Williams for the rest of the year. So I don't see the Giants doing anything on offense, and I don't see them being able to stop the Cowboys at all on defense. So the Cowboys should have a blowout win here. And the Cowboys, I believe, win the NFC East with a win and an Eagles victory on Tuesday.
Okay, let's go to what is truly the battle of the suckiest. We have the 2-11 Texans at the 2-11 Jaguars, and big news out of Jacksonville this week.
Yes, breaking news appeared a couple of days ago that Urban Meyer, after 13 games and one scandal after another, has officially been fired as head coach of the Jaguars. That makes him the first head coach to be fired during the regular season, and this had to happen. You heard all the reports about mistreating coaches, mistreating players, and there was the Tim Tebow thing that didn't make any sense, the bar scandal. There's a million other things I could list but it had to happen. He just wasn't, he couldn't handle the NFL. And so now Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, will serve as the interim head coach after being the interim head coach of the Lions last year. I was probably going to pick the Jaguars with Urban Meyer, but I think I will pick the Jaguars again, probably even more so now that Urban Meyer is gone. There's a lot of relief in that building and organization now that he's gone. Daryl, the interim head coach, never gets the job, but Daryl Bevel will command some respect in the locker room, and there's not going to be a new incident every week there. The Texans, much like the Jaguars, have a first-year head coach, although David Culley is still employed, and they've got a rookie quarterback of their own, Davis Mills, who's been up and down, but he's winless in his starts even still, even though he passed for over 300 yards against the Seahawks. I see a very defensive game, but the Jaguars are going to have some new energy in that with that team, and I think they're good enough to beat the Texans at home, so I'm going to pick the Jaguars.
Okay, let's go to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers at 6-6-1 are fighting for their playoff lives as they welcome in the 9-4 Titans.
This is easily the best-looking game at 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock area, and the most important one in that area as well. The Steelers lost to the Vikings on Thursday. They were down 29-0 at one point, but they tried their best to make a comeback, but fell just short of doing so. There was a last-minute pass deflection in the end zone that would have given them the chance to tie the game, and the Titans beat the Jaguars 20-0, where the offense did just enough to win, and the defense was able to get a shutout, which is very rare to do in the NFL these days. The defense should be even better, as Bud Dupree, the former Steeler, has been activated off of IR, but A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, who are expected to come back soon, still they're still on IR, so they're not going to come back just yet, but they did get Julio Jones back, who made some catches, and I think this could potentially be a little bit of a defensive game. The Steelers have struggled on offense the past couple of weeks, and the Titans have as well, but when they get Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown back, they'll probably be unstoppable. The Steelers could very well pull off the upset here at Heinz Field, but I'm going to go with the Titans because I still feel like they're the superior team, and Ryan Tannehill is playing a lot better than Ben Roethlisberger right now.
Okay, let's go to a AFC East battle where the Dolphins, also fighting to stay in the hunt at 6-7, welcoming in the 3-10 Jets.
I still feel it's too late for the Dolphins, even though they're on a 5-game winning streak, I believe, and they will probably improve to 7-7 after this week. The Dolphins have been playing pretty well on offense. They're like the Titans. They're doing just enough on offense to win, while their defense has resembled what it looks like a year ago, preventing teams from scoring a lot of points and getting a lot of takeovers and sometimes even some touchdowns. This will be the first meeting between Tua Tagovailoa and Zach Wilson, and this will probably be a matchup for years to come. It's going to be a rough day for the Jets. They didn't score a whole lot of points last time, but that was with Joe Flacco as the quarterback. But the Jets will not have Corey Davis or Elijah Moore, two of their top wide receivers. Corey Davis is done for the year, while Elijah Moore is on IR with a quad injury. He'll probably come back at like the very end of the season, but not for this game. So Zach Wilson has had a lot of struggles in his rookie season, and this Dolphins defense, I expect, will confuse him a lot, and I expect a couple of sacks and a couple of interceptions, and the Dolphins should win this one.
Okay, in our next matchup, I think I might smell lock of the week as the 1-11-1 Lions welcome in the 10-3 Cardinals.
I've been going back and forth between that and the Bills over the Panthers, but I think I will do the lock of the week here. The Cardinals lost to the Rams. It was very frustrating and avoidable, but they're not going to lose two in a row, I don't think. The Lions also lost last week to the Broncos in a blowout, and the Lions will not have TJ Hockenson for the rest of the season. He underwent a hand surgery, I believe it was, so he's finished for the rest of the season, and DeAndre Swift still remains on IR, their top running back. So that's their two best offensive players who aren't going to be on the field. And meanwhile, on the Cardinals' side of things, DeAndre Hopkins underwent surgery for a torn MCL, so that means he'll be out for the rest of the regular season. He has a chance to return for the playoffs, and I know the Cardinals will make the playoffs. They're 10-3, and all they have to do is beat the Lions, and they'll be 11-3 and officially get a playoff spot. So I think that should totally happen. The Cardinals are 7-0 on the road with two turnovers, and oddly enough, they're 3-3 at home with 11 turnovers, I believe the statistics are, and that's very weird, but the Cardinals like being on the road for some reason. That's where they're at their best, apparently. So even without DeAndre Hopkins, the Cardinals should do really good on offense. They've got tons of wide receivers, Rondale Moore, Christian Kirk, A.J. Green, and Zach Ertz, the tight end they got by a trade. And the defense should do really good against a Lions team that's missing its top offensive playmakers. So the Cardinals should, I expect the Cardinals to win big on the road and by more than 10 points yet again.
Okay, and we already know who you're going to take in this game because you said you were tossing around who was going to be your lock of the week. The 7-6 Bills welcome in the 5-8 Panthers. We know you like the Bills. Why do you like the Bills?
The Bills have to be angry after losing two in a row, and these were very preventable losses as well. They lost 14-10, I believe the final score was, in a very windy game and against the Patriots. They had their opportunities there. And they, like the Steelers, they attempted a comeback against the Buccaneers. They were down 24-3 at one point, I believe. They tied the game and it went into overtime, but they couldn't complete the comeback. And all of a sudden, there are two games behind the Patriots. A lot of people thought the Bills would totally win this division, and no one even considered the Patriots gave them a chance to win the division. But all of a sudden, the Bills are behind them. And I don't think they're going to catch up with them, in my opinion, but I still believe the Bills are a playoff team. There's too much talent for them not to make the playoffs. The defense got carved up by the Buccaneers in the first half, although they prevented them from doing much of anything for most of the second half. And the Panthers have been one of the worst offenses in football kind of the whole year. Cam Newton just is not looking really good right now. I think he's at the end of his career. Christian McCaffrey, he was placed on IR a couple of weeks ago. He's finished, and the defense is talented, but they're all on the field all the time, so that's why they've been struggling. I like the Bills to win here because I just think they're the better team, and Sean McDermott used to coach the Panthers. He was like the defensive coordinator, I believe, of the Panthers, so the Bills aren't going to lose two in a row, so that's why I like them to win here.
I think you meant to say the Bills will not drop three in a row. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I meant. My bad.
No problem. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's go to the 4 o'clock game, and this one appears to be the best one of the 4 o'clock games to me. The 7-6 Bengals going into Mile High to take on the 7-6 Broncos. Playoff hopes possibly on the line for both of these teams.
Yes, the winner will be in good shape, and I think the loser will be in trouble. The AFC is a very loaded conference. There's probably going to be a team with a winning record that doesn't make it. That's how good the conference is. The Bengals have an easier path to the playoffs, in my opinion, because the AFC North is very much up in the air, while the Broncos are behind the Chargers and the Chiefs in the AFC West standings. The Broncos were able to blow out the Lions, but anyone can do that, except the Vikings. But the Bengals, they lost a heartbreaker to the 49ers, but they were in it until the very end, and from what I heard, there were two muffed punts by a player named Darius Phillips that set the 49ers up to score points twice. So that was very preventable. But they gave it their all, and I think they're a better team than the Broncos. Unlike the Lions, the Bengals have actual talent at wide receiver. They've got that trio of Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Mixon's a pretty good running back, too, and C.J. Uzama's a pretty talented tight end. And the Bengals also have a defensive line that can affect the quarterback, unlike the Lions. And I just think I trust Joe Burrow more than Teddy Bridgewater, so I'm going to take the Bengals here to win on the road.
Okay, let's head out to San Fran, where the 7-6 Niners look to improve their playoff chances as they welcome in the 6-7 Falcons, who are looking to stay alive, even though it might be too late for them.
Yeah, I don't think the Falcons are going to get in. Maybe if they had Calvin Ridley, they probably would have won some games that they didn't win. But I don't think he's coming back this season. They still have Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been really great for them. They got to re-sign him. He's only there on a one-year deal, I believe. The 49ers got that impressive win on the road against the Bengals. That was a pretty good performance by the team on both sides of the ball. And they're at home, and I know they've struggled at home for most of this year and all of last year, but they're starting to put it together. They have won two games at home this year, and they're on a little. They beat the Bengals last week, and I expect a winning streak to develop here. I think the 49ers are just a better team than the Falcons. The offense should score some points, and the defense should perform well against this Falcons offense that struggles against top defenses in the league. So I'm going to pick the 49ers to win here.
Okay, if both teams were at full strength, this one would be a great one, but the 8-5 Ravens will be welcoming in the 10-3 Packers. Ravens just really banged up, and you hate to see it.
Yeah, it's just really bad. They held it together for most of the year, but now it's just starting to fall apart. Marlon Humphrey suffered a torn pec, I believe it was, in the loss to the Steelers, so that he's finished for the rest of the season, so they're without Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, their top two cornerbacks. We know what the running back situation was like. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards both suffering torn ACLs in the preseason. And Lamar Jackson suffered an ankle sprain in the loss against the Browns, and he hasn't practiced in 3 consecutive days, and that's not good. So Tyler Huntley can play. He's kind of like Lamar Jackson, but not quite. So he would get the start if he can't play. And the Packers, they beat the Bears. It was a lot more closer than expected, but the Packers improved to 10-3. The Packers are pretty banged up as well, but you really wouldn't know it based on their play. Aaron Rodgers continues to deal with this toe injury, which he says affects him, but I'm not really buying that. He seems to be playing just fine, and he might win a second straight MVP. The Packers have only lost 3 regular season games in all of 3 of Matt LaFleur's 3 years as a head coach with the Packers. They went 13-3 2 years in a row, with 2019 and 2020. So I'd expect the streak to continue here, because the schedule sets up pretty good for them, in my opinion. I know you can't count out Tom Brady, but the Packers looked like the best team in the NFC to me. They were in the NFC Championship 2 years in a row, and they lost both of them. I know that's going to motivate them a lot. And there's some part of me that thinks Aaron Rodgers doesn't really want to go, and I think a Super Bowl win would probably prove me right, or prove that theory right. So I think the Packers might be the best team in the NFL. I think they'll probably win the Super Bowl, and I expect them to take care of business against this banged-up Ravens team.
Brendan going out on a limb. All right, the Sunday night game, even though it's a divisional game, it looks like it's going to be a stinker. The 10-3 Buccaneers welcoming in the 6-7 Saints. Saints are, as we like to say, dunzo.
Yeah, I think so. I would have, if I was an NBC, if I was an NFL executive, I would have swapped this game out for Bengals versus Broncos or something like that. But it's Tom Brady, so you can't flex him out. Tom Brady is 0-3 in the regular season against the Saints as a member of the Buccaneers, which is kind of weird. They did beat them in the playoffs when it mattered the most on their way to win the Super Bowl, but it's very odd that he hasn't been able to do it in the regular season. There was that winnable game they dropped in New Orleans where Jameis Winston went down with the injury and Trevor Siemian came in out of nowhere and lit up that secondary, which was pretty injured at the time. The secondary is all healed up now, and Rob Gronkowski, who started off playing that game against the Saints, then left with an injury, is fully healthy now. The Buccaneers are at home. It's prime time. They win the division if they beat this team, I believe. And if you can't beat this Saints team at home, I don't know which Saints team you are going to beat. So I'm picking the Buccaneers to beat the Saints, and you would think it would happen.
Well, we know you think it will happen because you're picking them. Now, due to some COVID concerns, we have alterations to the schedule on Monday and, believe it or not, Tuesday. So on Monday, we have 2 games, and it starts off with an afternoon matinee, shall we say, with the 7-6 Browns welcoming in the 6-7 Raiders.
This is another pretty important game for both of these teams. The AFC is very loaded. I'm not sure if either of these teams will make the playoffs, but they can certainly try. The winner will be in pretty good shape. The Browns have had a lot of players go on the coronavirus reserve list. They've had a huge outbreak, which led to the postponement of the game. Baker Mayfield, head coach Kevin Stefanski, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, several offensive linemen, and even more have tested positive. So it had to be postponed, and some of those players should come off of that list. If this game was still going to go on for Saturday, I probably would have picked the Raiders, but a lot of those players should be activated and cleared in time for the game on Monday for the Browns, so I think I'm going to go with the Browns. The defense has been playing pretty well in the past couple of weeks, and the Raiders have been one of the worst offenses ever since Henry Ruggs has been released, and Darren Waller has been out for weeks and has already been ruled out again. So if this game was happening Saturday, I was going to pick the Raiders, but now I'm going to pick the Browns again. So, yeah, and stay healthy, everyone. It's getting a little scary out there again.
All right, and the Monday night game, which was originally scheduled, we'll see the 4-9 Chicago Bears welcoming in the 6-7 Vikings. Vikings looking to keep their playoff hopes alive, and the Bears just trying to get through the hopefully last season with Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I think the firing of Matt Nagy is inevitable. They gave it all they had against the Packers, but turnovers sealed their fate, as well as the defense being unable to stop Aaron Rodgers. But most defenses can't stop Aaron Rodgers. For some reason, in the Matt Nagy era, the Bears have just dominated the Vikings. I believe Matt Nagy has only lost to Mike Zimmer one time, and that was on a Monday game in Chicago last year. But this time there will be fans, and there's a brand new quarterback in town, Justin Fields. The Vikings, they got the win against the Steelers, but I thought I would be able to relax, but that wasn't the case. They were up 29-0, and then nearly blew it, but Harrison Smith had a last-second pass deflection to seal the game. And you just can't let that happen. You're up 29-0 with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter. The game should be over, and Kirk Cousins should have been on the bench, and Sean Mannion should have finished the game. But no, that wasn't the case, and that was a lot closer than it should have been. The Bears have had a couple players on their coronavirus reserve list, nothing huge like the Browns, and all three of their coordinators are in the protocols. Offensive coordinator Bill Lazor, defensive coordinator Sean Desai, and special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. So that's not good. And Allen Robinson was one of the players on that list. The Vikings have really struggled against the Bears recently, and something really bad happened when I picked them last time. They lost to the winless Lions when I picked them a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to take the Vikings to beat the Bears and improve to 7-7. And if not, you can declare this team's playoff hopes over.
And do you think Mike Zimmer will also be done if they fail to make the playoffs?
Yeah, if they're not in the playoffs, he's gone, as well as general manager Rick Spielman, I would imagine.
Okay, and again, due to Corona, we have two games on Tuesday the 21st. The 9-4 Rams will welcome in the 5-8 Seahawks. This one seems to be a mismatch on paper, and the Rams looking to jockey for playoff position.
I'm not so sure it's a mismatch. Division games, anything can happen. Both these teams have had to deal with some positive cases. The Rams had a big outbreak right before the game on Monday. Notably, lockdown cornerback Jalen Ramsey was a last-second addition to the coronavirus reserve list, but the Rams were still able to win anyway, and Darrell Henderson, right tackle Rob Havenstein, and tight end Tyler Higbee were some of the other players added on that list. Tyler Higbee was later revealed to have a false positive, their tight end, but now he's on that list again, so he must have really tested positive. The Seahawks added wide receiver Tyler Lockett and running back Alex Collins to the list, but with this game being pushed back a couple days, they should probably get both of those players back. The Rams have played the Cardinals. They played the Cardinals last week. Now they're playing the Seahawks this week, so that means it's a second straight week of a mobile quarterback who can extend plays and do some damage with their legs. Both of these teams are probably going to get the players on the coronavirus reserve lists back, but they might be a little rusty after missing some time. And the Seahawks have started to put it together in back-to-back weeks. A playoff appearance honestly isn't out of the question, which I feel is a little crazy given how they started the season. But the schedule sets up kind of well for them, and I think the Seahawks pull off the upset here.
Wow, that is bold. All right, let's wrap it up with the 6-7 Eagles welcoming in the 6-7 Washington football team. Washington football team in trouble despite this game being moved to Tuesday. They have a lot of people on that reserve list.
Yes, there are plenty, but the expectation is that they'll probably get most or some of those players back with this game being postponed to Tuesday. Quarterbacks Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen, wide receiver Cam Sims, offensive tackle left tackle Cornelius Lucas, and multiple defensive players such as Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Kendall Fuller being added to the list. It's just a mess. And the Washington football team gave it all they had against the Cowboys. They were down big for most of the game. The game seemed to be over with 4 minutes left. Then all of a sudden, Dak threw a pick six, and then it looked like they were maybe going to win, but it didn't turn out to be the case. Taylor Heinicke got beat up for most of that game, so Kyle Allen had to finish the game, but the expectation is that Heinicke will play maybe, but that was before he tested positive for coronavirus. They added quarterback Garrett Gilbert to their practice squad, who started one game for the Cowboys last year. So at the time of this recording, we really have no idea who the quarterback is going to be and how many of these players are going to be available. The Cowboys were able to move the ball pretty well on the Washington football team, as the Washington football team had played a lot of games against teams with poor offenses, such as the Panthers and Raiders, for to list some of them. The Eagles have, the last time we saw them, they beat the Jets with Gardner Minshew, who looked really good. He was like 20 of 25 or something, so Minshew is as good of a backup as you're going to find, and Jalen Hurts didn't play that game, but he's expected to play now. The Eagles are at home after being on the road in two consecutive weeks. This is a really important game for both sides. Both of these teams are trying to make that seventh wild card, but I think I'm going to give the edge to the Eagles here. I think they win at home.
And there you have it, folks. I want to apologize for the sound of my voice. I've been wearing a mask through this whole thing as we have a little COVID issue going on in our house. We want to welcome you, invite you to follow Brennan on Twitter at PhD in NFL, and also check out the column that he contributes to over at QBList.com called Beating the Spread, where he is closing in on 60% against the spread for the year. Again, everybody stay safe. Have a Merry Christmas. We will be back probably on the 23rd to break down the Christmas games, and we'll see you then.